We hope you enjoy the following presentation of a musical and artistic interlude, part one. Third Pentagram, a piano piece composed by Dane Rudjar, is played by Edmund Correa at the 1983 RITA Conference in Palo Alto, California. The performance is followed by a discussion on music by Dane Rudjar. This recording is 31 minutes long. This audio is brought to you by RITA, the Rudjar Institute for Transpersonal Activity, a nonprofit public benefit corporation dedicated to disseminating the work and essential message of Dane Rudjar. All material is copyrighted by RITA. If you'd like to learn more about RITA or make a donation towards supporting the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudjar, visit www.rudjarinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudjar, visit www.rudjaraudioarchives.com. And now, Edmund Correa.
word music is really quite an ambiguous word, as many words are. It can refer to many things depending on the culture on which it is used and on the state of that culture at a particular time. In the Western world, for many hundred and some thousand years, music has been considered one of the arts. And any art, the word art itself means a doing, a skillful doing of something. In every art, the concept of measurement, of proportion, of balance, of form, repetition, balance, has been a fundamental matter of importance. One speaks of a work of art, one speaks of a piece of music, as if it were an objective entity, which is made by a skillful craftsman. Now, in the plastic art, the work of art is there in front of you in space, complete. In music, it develops through time, but it has also what a musician calls form. But actually, it is not form so much as a process, a structure process of transformation. This process, however, can be marked on paper. It can be perceived all at once, as it were, and we have what we call a musical score. Now, in primitive music, in primitive society, music did not mean that type of a thing at all. Music did not originate as an art, but it was rather a means of communication. It is not the making of an object, of an entity, but it is the communication, the use of sounds to communicate. To communicate what? To communicate essentially a state of being. What a living organism wanted to communicate to its environment and to other organisms. It wanted to reveal its nature, maybe, particularly at specific times when something very definite had changed within that nature, whether certain need or certain desires had been formed, had been experienced, which needed to be communicated for one reason or another. You can say that all music really originated from the use of certain kind of sounds, which we call animal cries. Animal cries are produced when something within the animal changes, within that living organism, something has changed, the balance of forces, the needs, the wants, the activities within that organism have changed, or it has established a new kind of relation with other animals. So, for instance, in case of hunger, in case of a mating urge, in case of relation to the young, the mother to the young, in case of war, in case of triumph over difficulties, there is a change of consciousness, a change of intensity in the rhythm of the nature of the person. And he expresses itself, he releases itself, he communicates it through sound, essentially through what we call cry at first. Muscular action. Cries is a muscular action of the throat. The chimpanzee may beat his chest, any kind of muscular gesture can be used as a means of communication. Now, in human being, two very different kinds begin to develop. One which is speech, which eventually leads to the formation of speech, language, a language. Another one to what became much later called music. Now, speech is the sound, vocal sound, which are used to communicate in case of very definite, practical, concerted social activity. What became music, the use of chants, of sound, is to mostly to communicate states of feeling, state of being, and also an attempt to influence and to control other entities, whether they were animal or so-called spiritual. In all cases, whether it is speech or music, a certain type of form developed, which we call in speech syntax, language developed with a certain sequence of words and phrases, and the same thing developed also in music. These forms, this syntax, become stabilized in the classical period of a culture. Through their concerted togetherness, human beings develop what I call psychism, a kind of inner communication, an inner state of collectivity, of collective feeling, collective thinking, collective acting, which establish the character of that culture. That is the classical stage when that culture reached its most stable formation, and the basic element in that psychism, in that speech or in that music, become stabilized, having acquired a formal definite character. Collective ideal is expressed by the culture, and the artists, the people who are using in music the sound, take for granted, as it were, the existence of that collective entity and just give it expression. Now, at first, the main topics which are expressed in that music or in literature, in poetry, are, like in medieval time in Europe, are divine personages, Christ, the saints, poetry, music, deal, is all involved with religious topic. Then gradually, culture heroes begin to develop, like in Europe, Charlemagne, for instance, they become the topic for the communication of an ideal which stabilize and strengthen and bind that psychic character which unites all human beings within that particular culture. Eventually, the hero becomes a romantic hero, which is not quite a culture hero, but a personal hero. And eventually, when you reach the state of what is called expressionism, as it were, the hero becomes every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Every person becomes potentially a hero that has to be sung, because it has its own terrible problem, its own psychic conflicts. It has become definitely individualized. So, you have eventually developed a kind of music and a kind of art in modern life, in a modern city life, which require certain kind of satisfaction of needs which are very basic for a person, almost any person, who is living in that particular situation of stress and power. Power which is usually misused as the power over something, power over somebody, power over certain processes which will produce profits and gain and so on. If you have the kind of music which has become quite well known as avant-garde music or minimal music lately, the essential need which is satisfied is the need of sort of relaxation from the tensions of that particular city-state, a kind of introverted escape which can be achieved through a number of things, through meditation of a certain kind, through devotional attunement to a certain psychic rhythm and nature, particularly as expressed in Asian culture, or else the capacity, much more difficult, to actually take the path of transformation, to accept crisis, a metamorphosis of the culture, of the person, as a means to transform oneself, to use what the culture has produced, to go beyond the strictly cultural state, beyond art as the making of cultural objects. Now, to understand really what I have tried to do in my music, you have to realize that there are those two kinds of music, essentially. There is music which is concerned with the making of a work of art for the cultural enjoyment of a public. The public will reward the composer or the performer for that enjoyment and for helping them to feel more together with other part of the public itself, and to therefore give more strength to that psychism, that unifying spiritual power, which also can manifest in a baseball game or any ceremonial, which make more clear, more powerful, the togetherness of all human beings. Then there is that other kind, which is the transmission of certain incentive to transformation. Now, in the early stage, it took the form of magic, because you were acting upon forces, upon acting upon psychic energies, upon the gods, and so on. But now, in a higher sense also, it can become what we call theurgy, inciting higher being, as it were, to manifest, to establish relationship with human beings who are seeking transformation and to become more than man. But in any case, it is a transmission, a communication. And that is, in a certain sense, you see, what I have been trying to do. It is to communicate, to use sound as a means of communication, which will try to incite change, to induce process of transformation, and to create a more intense kind of living. Now, what is necessary, of course, in that particular kind of music, if you want to respond to it as it was meant to be responded to, is to have a definite open mind and open emotional being. So, and particularly, not to believe that any so-called good music has to be met in the same way, has to be responded to in the same manner, whether it is classical or expressionistic or transformative or theurgic, that it should all be just merely music that you listen to, analyze, try to find how it is made up, and try to enjoy it if you can, so as to either pass the time or feel a sense of comradeship and togetherness with other people who are also part of that public. Music of different kinds should be performed, should be heard in a different way. And I think what is very beautiful in the performance of Ed Correa is that he's able to present my music in a way which is basically different, inwardly and psychically different from the way, let's say, he would play Chopin or Beethoven or any other world of the more classical kind of nature. Now, the title of the music that you will hear now is Autumn. It was written a few years ago when I was in Palo Alto. And it refers, of course, not literally to autumn as a physical, natural phase of the year, but also to any state in which a cycle of nature, a cycle of being, has reached its completion and is reaching towards this slow, beautiful disintegration. The energies of life in the fall and the vegetation return to their source. The plant begins to disintegrate and decay. The seed falls into the ground. And you will find many of the themes are coming downward, particularly at the beginning of the piece, the descent of life down into the roots. And the same thing happens when you get old, and the life energy gets down, as it were, within the center of your being. And there, if you are open and if the process is successful, then you can think, you can experience, as it were, the birth of Christ, the Christmas, the end of the fall, during the holy night of the soul that has accepted the possibility of total transformation, and perhaps a mutation will start life at a new level of consciousness.
This is the end of A Musical and Artistic Interlude, Part 1, by Edmund Correa and Dane Rudjar. The preceding audio is copyrighted by and was brought to you by Rita, the Rudjar Institute for Transpersonal Activity. Learn more about Rita or contribute to the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudjar at www.rudjarinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudjar, visit www.rudjaraudioarchives.com.